Welcome back, everybody, to another season of The Challenge here on the Dom and Colin Podcast Network. We have another full, fun, exciting season of The Challenge coming up. The Challenge Total Madness, which premiered this past Wednesday night amidst a whole lot of craziness going on. But luckily, we have The Challenge all filmed and ready to go for the next however many weeks. I know we always rag on The Challenge when they give us long seasons. But at this point, give us as long as you can do. Stretch it out as much as possible because a lot of reality shows aren't filming right now. And I think we'll take what we can get. But long introduction aside, I am, of course, your host, Matt Liguori, and I am here with my co-host, as always, Brian Scally. How are you doing, Scally?
I'm good. It's been a while. I'm ready to talk about a new season. Little nervous that we're going to burn through this one before any are able to record for a little while, but excited nonetheless to get through season 35 of The Challenge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they can't record anything right now, obviously. Like, the new season would usually be going out, I want to say, around now. Like, towards, or maybe April, I don't know. But it is April now. I keep thinking it's March. But, yeah, they would usually start recording or filming a new season now. Same thing with Survivor would probably be out there right now. So the fact that none of these shows can really film at the moment is a little scary in terms of the fall. But I don't know, maybe we'll just get that Big Brother season that comes late and we'll still have something. But in the meantime, this season, The Challenge 35, Total Madness, which was named something else, I think, at the time, but that seems to be what they do these days. This was filmed back in October through December of last year. We drafted last year before they, you know, while they were out there filming to avoid spoilers. But yeah, we have a whole like new look here, I feel like, for this season. Some people not here, a couple of new faces around. So what, Scally, what are your first impressions overall of this cast? Are you feeling optimistic?
I know when we recorded the draft, we said this was a very weird cast. Doesn't feel like some of the regulars are here. Definitely a new crop that we would probably not have suspected. But through this first episode, at least, I'm very excited about the cast. So kind of don't know exactly how I feel moving forward.
We have some returning faces here, and it felt like this felt somewhat like an old school season to start off with here for some reason. Maybe just because I feel like back when I was binging all these seasons straight through, I would notice how, you know, some players back then would take a couple seasons off and then come back, and like that's something that I haven't noticed a whole lot as the most recent seasons have happened, because you have people like Kara, and that didn't take long for me to drop her name, but Kara and Bananas and whoever else that are here for, you know, they've been here every season. And then you have, like, I guess the only example that I can think of is Wes and Nani, who made their return after a couple of years. But here, I mean, Kayla, Nelson, Corey taking a couple seasons off and now being back. Anissa taking however many seasons off and now being back. It just feels a little refreshing. So when you have these veterans, but also they haven't been here in a while, even throw Jenna in there. Jenna's barely been around. And then a couple of new faces. I think this is a good mix.
Yeah, definitely excited to see some of the people you named. I know we were teased with Tori Fiorenza. I don't remember her actual last name. Tori Hall, yeah. We were teased for a little bit there, and ultimately I think she got dropped from the cast last minute was the rumor, but ultimately very excited with some of the people they brought back.
Yeah, so this season's got, like I said, it's called Total Madness. It's got I don't know what the vibe is, I guess. I mean, it looks pretty similar to where they've been filming the past couple of seasons. Just it looks like they're out in the desert again, but obviously the twist on this season, or not the twist, but the special thing about it is that they are living in an underground bunker, which I have some suspicions, or not suspicions, but like it doesn't seem like they're super underground. I know there's no windows or anything like that, but just from where it looked like they were going into this little structure, it looked like they were above ground, unless I missed something. Is this entirely underground?
I think they definitely start over above ground. But for me, I know I was really excited when you told me that this was happening. I was like, all right, like this is exciting. I am very excited for something new. It kind of felt like we were in the same generic house there for a while, But and especially once we saw like the tour of the house and everyone running in, I got really hyped. But then, you know, recent events, I was like, oh, maybe this is too real. I don't know if I like this anymore. But as soon as we got into having like a Big Brother Canada-esque indoor backyard space and everything, I was like, all right, I can deal with this. We're good. So seems like a very nice setup that they're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, they were running downstairs and you hear people like Nani who are like, oh, we're in literal prison. I think it was Ashley freaking out about, like, you know, where's all my nice stuff? I grew up with nice stuff. I want my nice stuff. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I would love to live here. This doesn't look bad at all. It's fun. I mean, first of all, I'm a sucker for a bunk bed. So they have obviously, well, they always have bunk beds, but that downstairs room that Jordan and CT were freaking out about with, they've got, you know, a whole like track field kind of thing down there, a turf, they've got a pool table, they've got a swimming pool, they have all these nice things that like they generally would have in a house anyway. So I don't know who would have any right to complain about this house. I know that the lack of windows probably get to me, and the bathrooms didn't look great, but overall I'm sure they could be in worse.
Yeah, I saw they had like the one roll of toilet paper on their bed, which did not look too great for the remainder of the season. But ultimately, like, once you get in that backyard and everything, like, they were saying, like, oh, where's all my nice stuff? Like, I've never had this much nice stuff. So you guys can rough it out for a little bit.
I think there's a lot of people right now that would kill for that one roll of toilet paper.
That is true.
Yeah, a very strange time indeed for this, you know, quarantine looking kind of house to be coming into play on a season of the Challenge. And TJ Lavin like a week ago went on Challenge Mania with Scott and Derek, and they asked him about that. They were like, how weird is it that this season is in an underground bunker, like hidden away from everybody else in the world, and now we kind of entered this weird time. It's just very strange that happened, but what are you gonna do? The world is working its weird ways right now. But so we start off with everybody comes to meet up with TJ as normal, and we have everybody in their nice black jerseys with this green text that pops pretty nicely. And TJ, you know, welcomes them to the challenge, and he tells them basically the format for this season is it's an individual season, but everybody will be competing in some challenges will be in teams, some in pairs, and some individual. But ultimately, it is a individual challenge for $1 million.
Yeah, you may as well have called this Free Agents 2, it sounds like, which I am very excited about. I know that a lot of people have been waiting for a Duel 3 or Free Agents 2. It kind of feels like we might be getting that from this season. So I am very excited to see how this plays out.
It's been a couple seasons, I feel like, since an individual format, or maybe I'm misremembering.
Like, I feel like Dirty 30 was pretty individual all the way through, except we did have the Redemption House, which kind of screwed that up, so it didn't feel so as pure.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to count that, it has been a little bit.
And War of the Worlds season 1 was in pairs, and then they ended up splitting into individuals, but this is, you know, full-on individuals from the start. So no teams like last season where people could kind of hide a little bit, and as we'll get into with the eliminations, TJ and you know, the production is making extra sure that nobody is just hiding around this season. We'll get into all of that, but here we are going to start off this episode with a individual challenge, and it is you know, just your typical opening challenge. I would say nothing was too exciting about this for me.
Basically, this one was called Battle Lines, and through a series of pulling a giant barrel essentially attached to a rope or chain, and, you know, intermittently they would have to do a puzzle or a math equation that seemed to not follow actual math rules, and by the end of it they would get eliminated in stages, and there'd be one person left standing who would join the tribunal.
Yes, so the tribunal is back. We will have a three-person tribunal, which is the same as it's been for the past couple seasons, that three people are going to be making the decisions about at least one person that goes in. We'll get to all that. But for this opening challenge here, they are split up, guys and girls competing separately. And in the guys, and you know, as they go along here, they do get a bunch of confessionals kind of interspliced in with all of them, you know, telling us, just reminding us who they are and that they're back. Not everybody gets that, but, you know, some of the, I guess, important characters do, you know, Jordan, I think, had one. He was saying, "Hey, I'm Jordan," or not, "Hey, I'm Jordan," but he said,
deep confessional there. Important.
He said, he's here because him and Tori are engaged now, which we just saw last season, and they want to, you know, build up that bank account so they can have a great, nice life together, get the wedding fund started. Everybody's got their reasons for being here. Just a reminder about some of the different rivalries that people have. Wes and Bananas obviously came up a whole lot in this episode, and just, you know, a little bit of that. But the challenge itself, like I said, nothing too exciting for me. The guys end up coming down to a final three of Rogan, Fessy, and CT. So a pretty impressive showing for Fessy as their only rookie there. And Rogan ends up pulling it out for the guys. And then on the women's side, it ends up being Jenny and Dee making it to that final leg where Jenny ends up pulling out the win over last season's champion, Dee. Dee, you know, is back here without Ninja, so I'm very excited to see what Dee can do on her own this season. But yeah, Jenny doesn't even like look like she breaks a sweat in this challenge. She finishes the first leg first, she finishes the second leg first, and then she just, you know, goes all the way to the end. So very impressive performance to start off.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you got those, like, the three big boys finishing up at the end. Like you said, impressive for Fessy to be hanging in there with CT and Rogan. I will say, even though they won last season, I was very impressed with Rogan and Dee coming in, you know, and making it all the way to the last stage of that challenge. Not something that I necessarily would have expected out of the both of them against this field.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if there's an element of, like, does anybody throw these early challenges because they don't necessarily want or need the power right away? They don't want a target on their back right away. I can see people like maybe like Jordan or Bananas or Wes maybe doing something like that, because why put the attention all on yourself right away?
Yeah, I mean, with Jordan, he literally has one hand, so it's gonna be a little tough on this one. I also don't think that he really has it in him to be throwing too many individual challenges. So, but if you were gonna say that maybe a Wes or Bananas did that, maybe. But overall, like, I really think that these three guys, you know, were top of the class there. As for Dee, again, just super impressed. A lot of people, her own team was throwing her under the bus halfway through. So for her to then come in and back up her win last season was really exciting for me to see.
For sure. I became a pretty big Dee fan by the end of the season. And if Jenny continues to be this kind of dominant throughout the season, you know, same to her. I think I'll end up in the same boat. She's just, you know, she was kind of treated as, well, she was a rookie last season, and she was treated like, you know, just any other rookie is. She kind of made some friends along the way. And how did you end up with her on your team? I remember wanting her so bad. But I think I did it to myself because I picked Wes and then you picked Jenny. So that's all on me. But yeah, looking forward to seeing what both of them can end up doing here in this season. So we have Jenny and Rogan, who are going to be the first two members of our tribunal here. And TJ informs them that you guys can pick one more. So I don't know how this is going to work. If they have a team challenge, if they have a duo or pairs challenge, then maybe there'll be a winning pair. And then it's the same thing. They pick a person. But if there's a team, is it like last season where they just have to pick out three people for a tribunal? Like,
oh, I do wonder that might be the case. I was kind of thinking that the whole team would then be like in the decision-making spot, which would be interesting. But I kind of hope that they do that where the whole team, you know, holds power rather than, you know, picking three out of them. Because what are you going to say that the remainder of the team is still immune? It kind of gets a little weird. So I have not thought of that before before now, though.
So we'll see how that plays out. But for this initial tribunal, Rogan is going to kind of put his foot forward and say, let's potentially go with Corey here. And Jenny is kind of open to whatever. So they end up pulling in Corey, and Rogan tells us that he sees that Corey is a strong guy. And, you know, these guys have not been on a season before. So smart move from Rogan to kind of try to build a bridge there, because obviously Corey comes into this with Nelson and potentially, you know, any other allies that have, I don't know if Kayla's with them or not, but if, you know, if there are people that Rogan hasn't worked with before, I think that's a good move. So that's going to be our tribunal here. We go back and actually check out the house, which we kind of already talked about a little bit. But yeah, this place is pretty nice. Hard to tell if it's going to be as nice after a couple of weeks in there where, you know, the air gets a little staler and it starts to maybe seem like a Big Brother house where they can't even get out besides challenge days. I mean, the arena, the place where they're going to have eliminations is outside, and they're going to have their challenges outside. But most of the time with the regular, like with any other season, they have time to go outside and they can go on a run or anything like that. I can't tell that they're going to get any kind of outside time here.
Doesn't seem, it kind of seems maybe the only outside time will be for the challenges. So that's going to be interesting. I know that like on Big Brother Canada, where they only have the hot tub areas, the outside, and it's locked a good amount of time, they seem to go a little bit more stir crazy occasionally. So I do not know how it's going to be when you are not able to see sunlight for that long of a period of time.
Yeah, these people are going to lose their minds. They're going to, you know, I think that's good for maximum drama. But hey, also like, the half the show half the time is when they go out drinking at clubs and whatnot. So I have to imagine they're still doing that. They can't just not do that. They're going to want to get everybody drunk. So they'll get out.
Yeah, that seems likely. Bad idea for the quarantine bunker to be going out socializing, but true. You know, got to keep the season filming.
True. So as we get into the house, let's just start with this because it was one of the main topics or main things that happened in this episode, and it went on for the entire time and was just something that I think we talked about a little bit when we did this draft, and it seemed like it was like the story needed to write itself at this point. Bananas and Wes could not be stupid enough where they let another season go by where they just go after each other and end up being early boots. So what do you think about this? I mean, I think we saw this coming a little bit, that this had to happen. Otherwise, I don't know what they would be thinking. But can this last, or is this like potentially all the way for the season?
I think you were a little higher on it than I was, just because you would have thought that this realization would have come to them, you know, 2-3 seasons ago. But no, I know that Wes has only been back for a little bit, but when you see the both of them, especially last season, just go out so early, you kind of don't have any other option. The problem's going to be, and I was taking stock a little bit with how the vote goes down later, we'll talk about, but I just don't know, can you wrangle that many allies to be loyal to the person who is the head of the usual opposing alliance?
And they kind of need each other here. I mean, I take what you're saying about, you know, you would have thought this would have happened sooner, but Wes has been back for 3 seasons now. The first one was when Bananas went out super early. Bananas went out like week 2 with Morgan. Last season, Wes was the one who went out before Bananas, so Wes got a little bit of a taste of his own medicine there. And now, you know, now that they both kind of had that experience, and Bananas went out soon after, it seemed like they could not let this go on any longer. If they want to have any kind of success going deep into a season again, they need to link up. And looking at this cast, it's, you know, there's some new faces. There's, you know, a Big Brother group that's coming in that is going to be strong, at least in numbers, if they're able to get their feet underneath them. It's hard to tell where those guys are going to stand with the Corey and the Nelsons of the world. So they really need each other now more than ever. And it's not surprising to me that they acknowledge that. But like you said, it's like hard to tell exactly how far they can go with this. Obviously, they have CT there. Jordan and Banana seem to be friendly last season, so they could easily run this house if this works for them. But I just can't see it working more than like 5 rounds. I mean, how are they going to get that far into the game and not go after each other?
I mean, it feels like Wes might need Bananas more than Bananas needs Wes. And I probably would have said that for a couple of the last seasons. But when you look at it, it really does look like Bananas has, you know, at least a couple of friendly faces in Jordan and Tori and Nani and a few other people there. So I don't really know who Wes is with this season. It doesn't seem, we didn't get any hint of him being with Corey or Nelson. I think it was one of them who kind of was like, what's going on between those two? So I haven't really gotten any indication that Wes has any friendly faces so far.
Yeah, I mean, what Wes did in two seasons ago, he pulled Hunter and he tried to make Hunter his little protege. And now last season, he tried to pull in Rogan, and then that backfired on him when those guys had no interest in playing Wes's game. So, I mean, Wes probably does need Bananas more, but they both really do need each other where, you know, if Bananas sees Wes go early, then attention turns to Bananas and everybody's just like, all right, let's just get them both out of here and then we can let the game be our game. And that's what happened last year. If same thing in reverse. So, I mean, Wes did well when Bananas was gone that season, the first War of the Worlds, but it's like that requires Wes playing like one of the strongest games we've ever seen him play, and having somebody like a Hunter in the house who was just extremely loyal to him. So you know, their best bet here is to move forward together, but you know, we'll definitely I would say we have to keep an eye on them, but I'm sure the show will do plenty of that for us and not make it too hard to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, well, they really tried to get it over on us. Like, the whole first half of the episode was very much, you know, standard Johnny, like, oh, that ugly ginger, like, okay, we get it, it's tired. But they really, like, focused on, like, one or two clip packages of them fighting in the past and stuff like that, only to later reveal, like, oh, gotcha, we're actually working together. So I'm really not so sure how long this can last, but it's, like you said, it's overdue. I'm interested to see if they can make it work.
Yes. So in another alliance that we see forming here, which not something that's, you know, super surprising to anybody, but we see the Holy Trinity form of Jenna, Kayla, and Nani. We know that, or, I mean, if you've been following along in real life, by any chance, you know that Kayla and Nani have recently moved down to Florida. I think they live together now, so I don't know if that is because of this season or if they were friends before. I can't remember. Obviously, Kayla and Jenna have been friends ever since they were on season 30 together, and Jenna and Nani are like best friends for life, so this trio coming together is not too surprising. You'd have to imagine that they will be loyal to each other as far as they can go in the game, but do we think that they have like the power to take over and like make an impact here?
It's interesting. Jenna was always like the connecting tissue, and I don't think we've ever seen the three of them on a challenge together, at least for long before. So I was kind of interested to see if this had happened a couple seasons ago, would they have been as close, or, you know, would Nani and Kayla be fighting for Jenna? So now that they have come together and worked together, I love Kayla and I like both Jenna and Nani. But once you get the three of them together, I'm like, yes, like this alliance, I'm very much in. So I'm very excited to see as far as can they hold that power? I'm not so sure. I think they really got to get with the Bananas and Wesses of the world, because I don't know how many people that were really a part of this franchise pre War of the Worlds 1 are really here this time.
Yeah, I get that as I fully agree. But Kayla, I was I was surprised that we didn't get any follow-up on Kayla versus Melissa. Melissa's here, fair. And I was pretty disappointed that Melissa got like no airtime in this entire premiere. We'll I guess get to her as well later, because we found out some news about her recently, but she didn't get anything here, and the last time we saw Kayla and Melissa was when they both got kicked off for a fight. So they are in the house together. That's something to keep an eye on. But another person that is kind of tied into this trio seemed to be Ashley. Ashley is not with them, but Ashley was very much aware of them, and it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of love between this group of three women and Ashley. Ashley was kind of talking to Big T, where it seems like Ashley's trying to pull in Big T. I mean, Ashley, we talked about this, I know, at the draft, that Ashley has no friends here. All of her friends that she was with last season, Cam, Kara, Pauly, like that whole group of people are not here. So Ashley's coming into this completely on her own. I have been extremely nervous for her. I kind of came around a little bit over the past few weeks, just because I was like, you know what? She's a vet. Hopefully people respect her enough to not come after her right away. So, you know, it doesn't look like she's in too much danger right away. But it does seem like Kayla does have her eyes on her. She made a comment to Casey at one point saying, that girl, she's got a great social game, you know, just keep an eye out.
Yeah, I mean, when we were watching the Holy Trinity be formed, I was like, yes, like I can stand this alliance. And then we got to Ashley and Big T, and I was like, no, never mind. This is who I stand. Really, I don't want them to be fighting. Like, can you guys just get together? But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Like I said, I really think that some of these people that were there before two seasons ago got to start linking up, or it's not going to go well. So I'm a little nervous for Ashley still. I need to see who she's really going to find herself with, unless she can ingratiate herself with the new people like super well. So we've underestimated her in the past, but right now I don't think Ashley has the best footing in this game.
No, she doesn't. And I mean, she was on the opposite side last season from the Bananas and Wes. Like, Bananas and Wes went home because of that big group that came together, and you know, the alliance that was on both sides of the house with the two different teams. Ashley was a part of that. Bananas and Wes ended up getting, you know, as a casualty, because they were pretty much outside of that. So I don't feel like anyone here really has Ashley's back, and she was right when she said she needed to make friends. And she also made a comment about how she was feeling a little depressed already coming into this season. And we know that Ashley's track record lately has been she either leaves early/quits, or she goes all the way. She went all the way last season to the final, and if she's already feeling depressed, I maybe I don't feel very good about her, lasting very long. And we do have quit points in the draft, and I wouldn't be surprised if those get used on her. And I don't want to say that out loud because I don't want it to be true.
Oh, say it ain't so. I mean, I was really excited. I loved Big T, like, all innocent. Like, oh, Ashley is going to be my mentor, and I'm so excited. And Ashley's like, I will work with anyone. I don't care who it is. I'm going to be fake. So that was exciting. Like, yeah, I want the alliance to be genuine, but, like, also I want Ashley to do well. So whatever it takes. I don't know. I don't see her necessarily quitting, but, like, is she going to go all out in an elimination? I don't know. Is she going to throw herself in early to get a red skull? Let's hope not.
I wish she even had, like, an in with Tori. I mean, she literally, I'm looking around at this group of women. Dee was in that alliance last season, so maybe something with Dee, but there's just, you know, she's running into roadblock after roadblock. So we'll keep an eye out on that. But going back to this trio, we do have another person here with some new connections, where we have Nani, and Nani is forming a little bit of a flirtmance, alliance, mentor, something with Asaf.
Yeah, Asaf is someone that I have wanted on the challenge for years. Like, as soon as I saw him on Are You the One, instant favorite. Like, I was so excited about him. I thought he would definitely be all over MTV. And he didn't get brought over right away, and then they really shied away from Are You the One. So exciting to see him come in here. And, you know, Nani immediately, I think it was, she had a confessional during the challenge, like, that's the guy I'm ready for. So to see him not quite fit in immediately was a little surprising for me with Asaf.
Yeah, and I mean, she got her claws into this guy, like, super fast. Asaf is telling us in confessional, I trust Nani, she's a great person, I would give her my credit card info, I would give her my bank info, I hope she doesn't like shopping because I trust her with everything. And I'm like, dude, you've known her for 5 minutes. It's not even like, I mean, Asaf knew Tori heading into this game. They were on the same season of Are You the One together. I don't know that Asaf has ever talked to a single one of these other people before, especially Nani. So the fact that he was willing to trust her so much, I don't know. I guess that tells me that she's got a pretty strong social flirt game to get in with him so early. But hey, that didn't even end up meaning anything because he's not here anymore. So.
Yeah. I mean, even you have him talking to Jay later, and Jay is like, oh, like, go hook up with Nani. He's like, I'm here for love. Like, what? Like, you're on the challenge. This is night one. Calm it down there, bud.
Yeah. And I guess now seems like a good time to ask about this. I got a Instagram DM the other day from Mel. Our friend Mel got served, and she wanted to know if, she was asking Allie and myself. So immediately I took this as, like, our first feedback question that we've ever gotten. And then, she informed me that she had told Allie too, or she had asked Allie the same question. So it felt a little less special, but no, it's okay. She said we can still use it here. She wanted to know if Jay potentially, since Jay and Asaf became pretty close in there, if Jay, knowing what he's doing, got Asaf to purposely go after Nani and, like, make that happen because he knew that it would put a target on Asaf's back.
I feel like that's a little fan fiction-y. I don't know if that... yeah, I think Jay proved that, like, you take someone who is, you know, decent at Survivor and put them on the challenge, they're going to look incredibly intelligent. But I don't think that, how do you know necessarily that that is going to not backfire? I know what had happened with Chase and Ashley, but that was really more Ashley's target that took them down. So.
Chase and Nani.
No, yeah, Chase, I was saying Chase was partners with Ashley on that season. Yes. But it was really Ashley's target that got them thrown in early. So were you to say, I mean, that could totally backfire with, like, okay, Nani's alliance protects us off. So I don't know if it would have been a good move if that's what he was going for, even.
That was my thought at first, but I did come around to, I mean, and I don't even know if Mel was asking this question in, like, full sincerity or not, but I, like, could see that being a possibility. I mean, Jay is, you know, coming from Survivor, he's got a strategic mindset. And the just if he could have any kind of angle of, like, trying to not be the rookie that is standing out the most, if Asaf is with Nani, he can go to people like Jordan or Wes or whoever and say, like, listen, I'm down to be with whoever you want. Asaf is already tied in with the girls, like, he's not going anywhere. Then I think that could have been an angle he could have used, but I don't even know if he was trying that, because he said the two of them became good friends, and hard to say for sure. But that is what it is. So what else is going on? So we have Kyle and CT talk. Kyle's talking about how he really wants to make a final. He says that nobody ever trusts him, and CT is trying to coach him up a little bit to say, listen, you know, you got to change your gameplay up a little bit. Nobody feels they can ever trust you. Maybe you're a little too goofy or something like that, but you got to, you know, show people that you're here to work with them.
Yeah, shocking that people wouldn't trust Kyle when his first confessional of the season was, I would die for that money, I would kill for that money, I would screw over anyone in that house for that money. So a little bit of a redemption arc for Kyle, maybe. I don't really feel like he'd definitely been, you know, non-committal, but not necessarily the bad guy on the last couple seasons. So I'm interested to see if he can, you know, rehab that image, because when you're coming back season after season, you do have to have some kind of credibility. Otherwise, your alliance isn't really worth anything in the game. So I like Kyle. I'm hoping he can do well, but I could see him running into a wall with people like Rogan.
Does Kyle look a little bigger to you?
Not that I noticed, but I'll take your word for it.
He looked a little bit bigger, both like in like he got a little bulkier, and also like I did not notice that he was so tall, maybe ever before.
Huh. I could see it. I think there was like one shot from behind where I was like, his neck looks thick, but otherwise I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he is, maybe he just hit the gym a little bit more, but I don't know. I never realized that he was so like tall and massive, or maybe he just is getting bigger. I don't know. That's just, one of my takeaways from Kyle. And what else is going on? So we talked about Kaylee, not Kaylee. Who the hell is Kaylee? Kaylee is not on this season. Kayla and KC linked up a little bit. They were talking about not trusting Ashley. I am not surprised to see KC's strategy here, where she's trying to sit back and, you know, not do a whole lot. We do imagine that she's with the Big Brother people, though, right? There was not really any clear indication of that, but I have to assume that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, wow. KC's going to sit back and not do anything for, say, 90 something days and hope to win. Like, yeah, I mean, this is it's what we expected from KC. That's fine. But I think she's going to be kind of that person who is physical, maybe not the best character, but I'm really hoping that something comes out, because she could be, I don't know, she's a fun like role to fill in like this show that I think that they really need more people. Like, she doesn't need to get a lot of confessionals while still being entertaining, by still being compelling. So we'll see. But ultimately, I feel like that was kind of a throwaway scene. I don't really see any, you know, working relationship quite there with those two.
I don't know. I'm Kaylee. Why do I keep doing that? Kayla and Casey, I'm pretty sure, had like met before at a at some event, and I know that Kayla is a big Brother fan, so I'm pretty sure that there is some kind of connection there, you know, at the very least of like they know each other. And I don't know if it's going to be like a lasting thing, but if Casey can be, you know, kind of sandwiched in between that Holy Trinity group and the Big Brother squad, like, she's got protection on all sides. So I don't know, you know, she's obviously got to make some inroads with some of the other guys as well, but to start off your season with that many people around you that could potentially work with you, definitely not a bad thing. So that's the Casey update here. There's a couple of people who, you know, they were a little quiet in this episode. Maddie, Big T, I feel like Jennifer, we got a little bit of an introduction about, but not a whole lot. Swaggy, I don't think said a word.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at it right now. Swaggy had zero confessionals. A lot of people down in the ones and twos. So I think we'll get to know them more. Jennifer apparently going by Jen with two N's this season, but whose pupils are as big as her face, I noticed. So keep a watch out for that. But we'll see. It definitely does seem like there's a little bit of a CBS alliance with the Big Brother crew and Jay. I don't know if Jen's included in on that.
She's not, because getting into the nominations, you know, transition into that, they get all, everybody comes into the main area, whatever that room is, and it looks like they're in like the bottom of a spaceship or something like that. Like, it's a very strange looking room, but looks kind of cool. So they do the voting in there, and obviously we see that it comes down to Jay and Asaf as the two rookies, and Jennifer did vote for Jay.
Yeah, weird move. I wrote down who everyone voted for, and I don't see really any sense in any of this. Like, I think could not.
Go ahead.
Have you looked at like who voted for who? Because I don't feel like we've got a clear sense of alliances from this whatsoever.
I paid attention to it a little bit. I didn't write it down, but I understood where the votes were coming from. The Nani and all of her friends were voting for Jay to go in, because obviously they noticed that Asaf was close to Nani, and that's a vote on their side. And then it seemed like, who else? Tori and Jordan voted for Jay, and That makes sense.
I mean, it definitely was. It was the Holy Trinity plus like Jordan and Tori, CT, Bananas, Kyle, and then Jen. I don't know, one for good luck. whereas pretty much everyone else was voting for Asaf. So I don't know if that was actually seeing like, all right, here's, you know, Nani on Banana's side gaining a number. Let's take that away. We don't need the rookie moving over there. So
yeah, I mean, that's at least for like Ashley. Ashley's obviously not with that Holy Trinity group. So, you know, not surprised to see her voting against the way that they wanted it to go. And then everybody else, I mean, if there are people that are connected to that Big Brother group and they want to keep them happy, they, you know, we saw how people were saying all throughout the episode, you're not going after Swaggy because Bailey will come and bite you. So if people are trying to not mess with the Bailey Swaggy Fessy group right away, and Jay seems to be included in that, then just because of the CBS, you know, affiliation, I guess, then I could see that being, you know, the case a little bit. If I don't know if Anissa's friendly with any of them. It seemed like, I think I saw Anissa and Bailey like sitting there like braiding each other's hair or something like that. So I don't know if they've bonded at all, but it did seem like maybe these outsiders were all sticking together. So that's what we have for this first vote, where it ends up being 14 votes on Asaf, 7 votes on Jay, and Asaf throws his vote over to Wes.
Ooh, Wes is so mad, and it is so funny.
He was so upset. I mean, he had just gotten over telling us in confessional about how he's playing dead. He's like, I'm not even gonna be here. Don't come for me. I'm not coming for you because I'm literally not even here. And then, you know, cut to 5 minutes later, and Asaf is voting for him and saying that he's a snake and he's sneaking all around the house and, you know, getting involved in everything. And Bananas eats this up. You know, in confessional, he's like, this is hysterical. This guy's been here for 5 minutes and he already knows the deal. But yeah, Wes isn't too happy.
It was an insane reaction because, first of all, like, I feel like this is probably, I don't know, let's break it down, because he first starts off with calling Asaf a follower, which no one else said Wes's name, so I don't know who he's following. Like, it's not as if, I mean, Bananas is working with Wes, so it's not as if, like, they were campaigning to get Wes. So who is the person that's masterminding this Wes vote, if not Asaf acting rogue? So that was weird. Says that, like, takes it really far, and oh, he's a piece of shit, dropping the P word. I was like, all right, Wes, like, let's calm it down here. It's one vote.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, if anybody, maybe it's Nani, Jenna, and Kayla that are maybe just telling Asaf that, hey, Wes is like a snake and this is what he does every season. And obviously Wes is, I believe Wes that he hasn't done anything yet, but if Asaf has been hearing reputations from people, like in the same way that Kayla was telling Casey about Ashley, you know, wouldn't be surprised if that's just how word of mouth spread. And, you know, Wes is like, oh, you're just going to like listen to everything that people tell you, like whatever. So he got pretty pissed off about that, but of course it doesn't end up meaning anything. But it does, I mean, lead into the next scene where Wes and Bananas kind of come together and hug.
Yeah, weird move. I mean, you don't even want to, like, shake hands with alliances in, like, public usually on most of these shows. And you have the two, like, most notorious rivals hugging openly. Because did Wes just, like, lose his mind from the Asaf vote? Because it seems like a big oversight from him.
And this is where I know Colin was screaming at his TV, because I remember Colin's tweet from a couple of days ago or a week ago, whatever, saying, does anyone else lose their mind seeing people like embracing and hugging and shaking hands on TV these days? And immediately I thought of Colin. These guys are not supposed to be hugging 6 feet apart. No hugging, no touching. But whatever. I guess this was a couple months ago, and we'll give them a break. So that's the nominations that we have here, and the tribunal still needs to come together and pick a person. They have selected three names that they are going to interrogate here. That will end up being Corey saying Wes's name. We have Rogan saying Kyle's name, and Jenny kind of playing it safe and going with one of the rookies and ends up saying Jay's name. And that's going to lead into our interrogations.
Hey, why did Corey say Wes? Like, what happened there? I don't remember any bad blood from, like, past seasons that comes up, like, top of mind. So that one really threw me off.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know that they weren't at the house deliberation where they picked the names, but, like, maybe people have been just talking about Wes, and Wes doesn't have a whole lot of friends here, so maybe he's just kind of come up as, like, a common target of somebody that people just aren't sure about where he sits this season. I can see that being the case. I don't know. You know, Wes always is the one. He literally had that montage last season or a couple seasons, 2 seasons ago, where it was, like, Wes and like boxes all around his face on the TV of like people that he contacted pregame. So, you know, I don't know if that was the same case this season or whatnot, but, yeah, it was, it did seem a little random. So we get these interrogations, and I think Kyle's was my favorite because, as much as, you know, Rogan and Kyle are trying to be the British Bananas and Wes by just making their rivalry, like, you know, extended and overblown and overdramatic when they probably don't even hate each other at all. Just like Wes and Bananas, but it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like both of Rogan and Kyle, and watching them interact is funny. I don't know. Maybe it's not as overplayed as Bananas and Wes.
Yeah, prepare yourself, because I feel like a lot of us were okay on the Kyle and Pauly drama, and now that it is Kyle and Rogan, well, yeah, I think more people like these two. I could see this getting tired, especially with the absence of a Banana Wes feud.
Yeah, I wonder if Kyle will ever come into a season without like hating somebody, without his first confessional of the season being, Paulie's here, I hate him. Rogan's here, I hate him. That seems to be Kyle's thing.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're getting Kyle confessionals, like, pretty good with me, but I'm not believing this one.
Yeah, so, and Wes and Bananas alliance, for the record, is Team You're All Fucked.
Yeah, I've heard better names.
Yeah, I've heard better names, and like, not only, how weird was it that, like, they went into, obviously, like, a confessional together? Like, it seemed like this alliance, and the fact that there was, like, a promo, like, I know it was, like, an April Fool's Day kind of thing that MTV put out yesterday, where it was like, it looked like Bananas was about to announce his retirement very stupidly, and he was like, I've had so many great years and blah, 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 blah. And all these years, I've worked with Wes, and no longer the case that we're, you know, this season we're teaming up. And like, that was the announcement. So I just feel like this seems so produced.
Yeah, it was weird because, I mean, they cut to them finally like in the confessional together, which I don't know how many other people are doing confessionals together, so kind of seems like a red flag. Can't think of many others making air, but, I mean, everyone's clocked this. It does not seem super secret, which I feel like it would have to be in order to be effective.
Yeah, for sure. Any takeaways from the interrogations? It seemed like Jay was putting in some as much work as possible to keep himself out of there.
Yeah, I think Jay, it's what more can you expect out of like a rookie? I like how they were calling them prospects, like, because, you know, vet and rookie have lost all meaning in this series. But Jay, you know, gave as good of a pitch as he can give, like, use me as a number, like, let's work with this, like the classic Survivor pitch. And I think that if it wasn't exactly the first week, if there were maybe some more rookies that were outside of that Big Brother group, maybe he could have like gotten something going, but there was no other name.
I agree. Kyle pledges his allegiance to Rogan in a sense, and basically Rogan's like, all right, so if I don't put you in this time, you're going to come after me this season? And Kyle's like, no, I promise. No, I'm good, promise. So the two of them are seemingly not going after each other. We'll see about that. And then Wes is like having a freak out panic attack, like, in front of them. He's like keeping his cool for a second, but I think like a brief doubt maybe set into his mind where he was like, wait, I'm not going in and going home early again, right? Like, that can't happen. It just happened to me last season. So he like has a little bit of a freak out and like asks them straight up. He's like, am I going in? And they aren't going to tell him now, but he's not, so relax, Mr. Wes Bergman.
Yeah, like, is Wes nervous about getting the calls? Like, this feels like a behavior from someone who is worried about their spot on the show, but really interesting to see Wes in this spot, because it's been a little bit. Even when he, you know, went out early last season, he did not necessarily see it coming.
Yeah. So we've had everybody has gotten the information that they need, and we head over to the arena, which this season seems to be called Purgatory. So that is going to be where all the eliminations take place this season.
Big thumbs up on that name.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like the Purgatory name. Definitely better than things we've had in the past, I would say so. Do you not agree?
The Killing Room.
The Killing Floor. Yeah, very original. So at least Purgatory like is trying.
It's fine. They should have called it Quarantine or something. Well, no, that's the house.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah. No, Quarantine would be the house, not the place of elimination, but whatever. You get the point. So Asaf is obviously been voted in, and now we have the tribunal that are going to make their picks, and we get three votes for Jay and our precious little survivor, first rookie on the challenge from Survivor is going to be the first one thrown in here, and it's Jay versus Asaf. The two of them are going to be hanging with pretty much hanging on a bar, and there's a little bit of a glass window in between them that they can use to like kick into the other person, and the goal is to have the other person let go of their bar and fall off. It's a best 2 out of 3, and we see that Jay is pretty excited for this because he is a rock climber, and you know, holding on to things and you know, kind of holding on for his life is something that he's used to. And Asaf is up for the challenge, but doesn't seem like he has any special skills that'll help him out here. And that's what they take into this elimination.
Yeah, I mean, Asaf is allegedly a Ninja Warrior winner, so definitely thought he could have held his own here if I didn't have the feeling that Jay was sticking around for a little bit based on, you know, the first episode's edit. But it was surprising because I know that Jay was like, oh, I'm a rock climber. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know you trained with, Cole from Survivor for like a couple weeks before you went out, but I don't know how long that was. Like, I wouldn't have classified Jay necessarily as a rock climber, but to see him hold his own like this was very encouraging because I wasn't sure. I know we talked about, Natalie or, you know, certain other people coming on the challenge, like, is it the spot for them? And we were a little skeptical, and they ended up proving us wrong, and Jay fit in here a little better than I expected.
Yeah, and speaking of Jay, I saw somebody tweet about this, but I was surprised that Jay didn't get any kind of content with Bananas. The two of them have a little bit of a history with, Jay used to date Morgan, and Morgan is now dating Bananas. And, I mean, Bananas didn't throw Jay in. Well, no, he did vote for Jay. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like he was in the tribunal where it was, like, an obvious that Bananas had a firsthand, putting Jay in or whatever it was. So I don't know, maybe that'll still come up since Jay is sticking around, but I was surprised that that wasn't mentioned in any way. So Jay has a confessional here where he's just letting us know, he's going to be fighting here. He said he's sticking around because he gets his strength from his mom. His mom has gone under, or has had 11 or 13 brain aneurysms, he says. And we know a little bit about that from his time on Survivor, where him and Adam opened up to each other about their experience with their moms. And, both of their moms were not doing well at the time. Adam's unfortunately passed away. And Jay's, I'm not sure if she's doing any better, but you know, he's mentioned that she's had some health issues all her life. And Asaf is talking about how he's the first Israeli person on the show, so he's taking pride in that, and he's proud to have gotten to where he is. And it's the kind of confessional that tells you that he's about to fall down and lose two times. So Asaf is going to end up losing this one and heading out and being our first boot of this season.
Yeah, as a day one Jay and Asaf fan both, this was not encouraging for me on the first round, but ultimately I kind of felt like, all right, like I'm sold, give me Jay. So I'm okay with how this went, but yeah, definitely a heartbreaker seeing Asaf go out so early. I know on the MTV.com at the end, they usually include like a little interview. Apparently they're including an interview with the people that go home, and Asaf was just like, I've been trying to get on the show for years. Like, I think ever since Are You the One, he's just like, this was his goal. And to see him like finally get it, and then, first you're out. So he was swearing he's coming back, but we'll see about that.
I mean, if Rogan came back, I don't see why Asaf can. Asaf gave them pretty good content. He gave them a hookup. He gave them a calling out Wes in the first episode, and he's, not a bad performance in the first elimination. So I would say I could easily see them bringing him back.
Yeah, I don't see it. It's just for me, like when he was like, oh, these people are fake, like I don't want to get involved, like that's not encouraging for a second run. Like, you want someone who's like gonna be there and mix it up. And like, yeah, like Asaf might hook up, but I don't think there's ultimately gonna be that much drama around Asaf. He's perfectly fine, and he was someone that I was like dying to get on the show originally, but now seeing him a couple years later, I'm glad he was here. I won't be complaining if he shows back up, but I'm also not dying to have him back.
Yeah, it might depend on like the fan reaction, because I mean, you look at someone like Big T, who didn't make a very big impact going out the second episode of last season. I'm very sorry, but fans were big into her being back again, and she's here on her second season. So maybe the fans will be able to give that push to Asaf. Hard to say. I haven't seen any kind of crazy push for him, but I don't know. Maybe around the time that the next season eventually ends up getting filmed, maybe there'll be a push, but who even knows when that will be.
Yeah.
So Anissa has a confessional here where she acknowledges, oh, Nani, the Poisonous Princess, The Kiss of Death, and Nani is going to lose another man that she has fallen for early on in a challenge season. And, you know, she's been back for 3 seasons, and this has happened to her twice now.
Yeah, Nani says that she's going to be sliding into the DMs after the season. So, you know, go for that. I'm sure that they can, you know, kick it on the outside. But Nani even, I like Nani, but to just jumping ahead a little bit into a little bit of like confessional talk and stuff, a little disappointing to see all of her content be about a guy for the woman who got the most confessionals, I'm pretty sure, out of the cast. So I'm hoping that we get more of a developed story with Nani in the future.
I mean, I can tell you how the Nani story is going to go. It's going to go, I really need to win a challenge. It's been 1200 years since I started this show and I really need to get my win. And then she is going to get that confessional all throughout the season until she goes home right before the finale for the 100th time that she's done the show. So
that's very fair.
That's Nani, and that's, you know, what's going to change about that. I mean, I noticed that TJ is going to announce a twist, which Nani is one of the people that I noticed has the biggest reactions, because this twist here is going to be that everybody this season is going to not be able to skate by. He talks about how their helmets all have brands on them. There are daggers and skulls. The daggers represent championships, so your championships are going to be displayed proudly on your helmet, and the skulls are going to represent eliminations. So every time you go in an elimination, you're going to get a skull, but when you go in and you win your first elimination, then you're going to get a red skull, and the red skull signifies that you have won at least one elimination and you can proceed to the final.
Yeah, not sure how many people on this cast even have a single dagger for a championship, but ultimately, well, I love me some social players. I want them to go far. I want them to, you know, it's a legitimate way to get through this game. I kind of really like this twist. Am I crazy?
I like it. I like trying it out. I don't know if I want to see it forever, but I mean, it's the kind of thing where I'm definitely down to try it. We've been calling out a lot in the past couple seasons about how people are skating by, and people like almost the entire alliance last season, like Kara, Cam, Paulie, and all them, like Ashley did go into one at the end, but they all made it all the way to the end of the season, and nobody had to do anything special to get there. They just had to, you know, their social game carried them all the way. But the point is that a lot of people want to see people fight their way to the end. They want to see them go into an elimination, come out, prove that they can do a simple, whatever the elimination task is, before they get to the big stage of the grand final. So I definitely don't know that I want to see this forever, but I so down to try it.
Yeah, this season, the whole format feels like a reaction to last season. Like, no more teams. You're all going into elimination. Mm-hmm. Like, we're sick of you. But yeah. I don't know. I am I'm cautiously optimistic that most other shows, I don't know. The challenge for me does come down to the challenges at the end. And if you're not going to be able to run that final, compete at the end, then you kind of had no chance anyway. Yeah. So I want to see the social players do well. I'm interested to see how they really sort it out at the end. Like, I hope it's not like, okay, we're at week, you know, 13 and you don't have a red skull, so go home. I hope that it's like, okay, if you don't have one, like, you are going in at this point. Yeah. So I hope you lose in an elimination or you, you know, you're forced to go in at the, like, 2-1 at the end, be it you know, X number of people going in or however they want to handle that. I hope that it's not just like the five of you don't have one, so go home.
No, I can see them like changing it up a little bit towards the end with like different kinds of eliminations. TJ was talking about how the challenges are going to be in like pairs and teams and whatnot, so I wouldn't be surprised if they have like duos that end up having like eliminations together or anything of that format. And while you were talking, I was counting, and I believe there are 7 champions out here. Jordan, Bananas, CT, Wes, D and Rogan, which is still weird to me. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Forgetting Ashley, okay.
6, Ashley was at the bottom. I'm looking at the draft board here. So 7, I want to say, unless I missed anybody. So we have a couple of champions out here, but I mean, strange that they're putting that on the helmet. Whatever.
Yeah, 4th of the cast, but I like it. Ultimately, I like the twist. I like, you know, signifying like those people with those elimination wins, definitely they look a little bit scarier with those skulls on their helmet. Maybe you don't want to call them out right away. Especially, I was going to say, I like the forced elimination twist when the format itself makes it pretty difficult for a vet to go in like so early in the season where you're having like the entire house vote. So to get like that many people on board with throwing a bananas in is going to be kind of difficult. So the fact that you do have to go into one eventually is, I think, a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. What else? Anything else that we have on this specific episode? Did you watch the trailer? I know you're not a big trailer guy.
No, I did not. Once you tell me that it's going to be a season-long trailer, I am out.
Well, was it a season? I mean, it was. Yeah,
I thought it was. It looked like a like you know. Once you get over a 30-second trailer, I'm assuming that you're throwing a lot in there.
Yeah, I know that you're a very big anti-trailer guy. I feel like, I mean, especially for like this season's. You could pretty much assume that like it, like because you don't want to see that people are like in eliminations or whatever, right? I mean, but now this season everybody's going to be in one.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I mean, I saw the, if we want to talk trailers, warning for anyone who does not want to hear about trailers.
I think
trailers.
It's just you.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know that they have flagged up like this is the elimination like I've always wanted to see. I know about, I mean, we got hints of the Bear and Kayla flirt manse going on where he's just mouthing like, I love you, you're beautiful, you're so hot, everything. So I know that that's like a storyline, but as far as anything else, I'm pretty much in the dark.
Yeah, Bear and Kayla is something that I think we heard about a little bit after we did our draft. So we've known about that that's happening for a while now, especially Kayla was with her boyfriend at the time. They are no longer together. You know, something happened or a lot happened, I guess, with her and Bear on the show. And she's not even with either of them anymore. So that's what's going on with Kayla. Should we get into this little list that I have
together? Yeah, I mean, there's like just funny confessionals that I have pulled out, but otherwise we got through pretty much everything. Now, I mean, I liked that you have Nelson talking about how like, oh, like I'm not playing as the good, like Nelson's been the good guy all these times. So there's like a few other like random,
he was like, I'm good looking. I'm good at this. I'm good at life. I'm good. I don't even know.
He's like, oh, like I'm playing the good guy.
Verbatim.
Yeah, I mean, you have Ashley talking about how this is like the worst thing that's ever happened to her life, but she's had a really easy life. Like, all right, quote of the episode, definitely give it to Ashley there.
Yes.
As far as, yeah, let's go through your list. We can talk about confessional counts and everything else later.
All right. This is kind of irrelevant to this season, but what I was doing over the past couple of months, I just kind of noticed that things were popping up in the world of the challenge that, you know, like I said, don't necessarily have to do with this season or this cast, but just things that we should check in and talk about since they relate to people that we do or have talked about in the past. So this has literally been going since December, and I haven't added to it in a couple of weeks, so might be missing anything or something. Let's start with, I guess I'll just go in order here. Amanda, we haven't seen Amanda in a while. Amanda got engaged, and that was, you know, the start of her little adventure here because she had her baby boy. His name is Avani Anthony, and she had him a couple months ago. So Amanda seems to be on the sidelines for a little while, confirmed, to say the least.
Yeah, wild. Another update that I saw with her is she actually was going back to work early from maternity leave because she wanted to get back in there. I believe she's a nurse, right?
Yep.
And she wanted to help out with everything that's going on in the world. So, I mean, people can say Amanda is a villain on the show, but, you know, getting out there and saving the world.
Yeah, she's got a 3-month at the most old baby. And like you said, she's getting right back to work. She is answering the call of duty. So I appreciate that from Amanda. Also in the news of babies, it's Colin has turned this podcast off by now. Corey and Taylor are having a girl. Corey talked about a little bit here about how he said, I'm back because my girlfriend Taylor is pregnant, so I got to bring home some money for her and for the baby. But I noticed he didn't say Ryder.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Corey coming now on with a second baby with a MTV alum. Don't love Taylor. Hope we don't get her on the show. But
she won't be on this show. She's on Teen Mom.
Yeah, okay. You think that that's precluding her. Corey's on Teen Mom too, and he's here. So you
never
know.
They can't both come on the show.
You could alternate. You got the Zach Jenna thing going on.
True. And there were a couple of actually people from this season that were at the party, and maybe I shouldn't drop those names just in case anybody is like super spoiler sensitive and takes that to mean anything. But a couple of people on this cast, plus Pauly, who is Pauly not on this cast, but a couple of people from this season were there at the the gender reveal party that Corey and Taylor had. It seemed like it was a couple of weeks after the season filmed. We had a unfortunate passing. Alexis from Are You the One passed away.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. That's, wow, that feels like so long ago.
It does.
Like, and it is so sad.
This was like a whole lifetime ago. Very sad. I at first wasn't sure that I watched that season, but no, I watched a couple of her confessionals at the time, and that was very, very sad news. What else? Very weird to transition, but the next thing on my list was the Challenge Mania Awards, which I again feel like so long ago, so I don't even remember anything about those, but those were fun. So if you participated in those over on the Challenge Mania podcast, I was lucky enough that Scott asked me to submit a ballot for like the expert side of that, so I appreciated that, and that was a fun little project that was happening in January, I want to say.
Oh, look at you.
So What else? Kayla, I have a note about Kayla and Sam. She's dating Sam now from X on the Beach, and he was also on Love Island. So as however this story plays out between her and Bear, hard to say, but seems like it doesn't end in a love story. Baby, just say yes, because she is now with Sam.
Hey, it hasn't been working for Morgan, but I'd like to see Sam on the show. So anything that, you know, like those two people, I am fine with them together. So let's see them both back.
Scally, this stuff literally feels like it was like months and like a lifetime ago.
No,
like we have literally aged like 500 years in the past 3 weeks. And I'm like reading this stuff. I'm like, there's no way this was like anything less than a year ago.
Yeah, no, I've decided to stop aging, but the passage of time has gone on forever.
Props to you.
Yeah, it was a good decision. I highly recommend it.
Known permanent youth.
Yep,
Brian Scally. Available on all TikTok platforms. Joss and Rogan, they had a stint at Chippendales.
Oh, I did hear about that actually.
And they got matching Jogan tats.
Oh, always a good idea.
Yeah,
definitely, so highly recommend.
I don't even think that was from, you know, How Far Is Tattoo Far or anything like that. I think they just got matching tattoos after their time at Chippendales, which I think they were supposed to go back, but it doesn't seem like that's happening right now. Faith had her baby boy.
Okay.
So she was, we found out she was pregnant a little bit after last season, and Faith has had her child. Zach and Jenna are planning their wedding. Did they get engaged?
I think they did, which, like,
but that's just not on my list. But they are—they're now planning their wedding, so that's that. Very, very, very happy for them. They should definitely.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah,
Nelson,
me being
Angela.
The Cara Maria who don't love it. Not gonna go.
Scally Maria.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Your name. Nelson and Angela broke up. Anyone care?
No.
That's.
Maybe we'll see her back. Maybe we won't. But no. I mean, they're always on again, off again. So.
Yeah, Nelson and Angela broke up. I have a note here about, I just wanted to talk about the promo videos. Did you see any of those leading into the season where they were talking about, there was literally a video that said, who are you happy to not see here?
I did see those type of things. And I was going to start asking of, more so, who are you missing from this cast? But also, who are you happy to not see there is also a great question.
Yeah, it was a very resounding response. Overwhelmingly, Cara Maria, Cara Maria, Cara Maria, and Pauly. Cara, 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 and Pauly.
Yeah, MTV really took the chance to dunk on Cara and Pauly, and yeah. They went through with it.
They went through with it. They aired it, and that's out there. I did see a post on Instagram today where Cara was just replying to something, and she said that she hadn't watched the episode yet. So watched the episode at all. So, you know, not surprising on that end to see if those guys are not interested in what's going on right now. I'm sure they know what happens or whatever, but I'm sure they're enjoying their break, and I think many people are enjoying their break from them. So let's maybe try not to talk about them. And that's a note to myself because I have a hard time with that.
You're the one likely to bring them up in this pair.
I absolutely am. And my last note here is that a person on this cast is currently pregnant.
Yes, that was a piece of news that we found out recently. Did not expect it out of Melissa.
Melissa is pregnant, and it seems like she was pregnant on the show.
Yeah. DJ Mel Reeves currently with child every episode you're watching.
Yes, so I have no idea what that means for Melissa this season. I mean, I don't know if she finds out on the show and then has to leave, or if she is just going to keep going and at some point, you know, get eliminated or whatever the case may be. But That's definitely something that I don't know if that's happened before, but so that's something.
Not that I know of. I'm someone who actively usually tries to, I like to know like when they're flying out because I want to look up who the cast is. But other than that, I really try to ignore all of the filming dates and stuff like that, because in case an erroneous, you know, retweet comes across my timeline, I don't want to know that they're home early or something like that. So when I found this out, I would say my guess is the timing of it. It seems like it was probably very early on where it wouldn't have affected anything. I mean, she didn't even know. So I'm guessing it doesn't hold her back or impede her ability to compete. So she said everything's all good, that they're just, you know, she's super happy. And to confirm that the baby was not Kyle's, she was very adamant about. So, you know, it would have been nice to have another challenge baby, but that is what it is.
Yeah, so that'll be something to keep an eye out on. I mean, I don't think it's going to come up on this season unless it does. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know. Anything else before we get out of here for this first episode?
No, that was really it. You know, confessional counts were nothing like super surprising, except for I forget exactly where I saw it, but I did see that like 70-something% of the confessionals were men, which is not exactly shocking, but disappointing. So we'll see. I was going to ask if there was anyone that you're really missing from this cast, but it feels pretty good.
I think you're going to say you know the answer.
I mean, I do know the answer. But other than someone who you've, you know, tried not to name.
I did say the other day we were talking, you know, with Colin, and I was saying that I don't miss them yet. I think I'm fine for now. I am like genuinely like okay, seeing, you know, different storylines play out and whatnot. And like I've said on the last year's podcast or last season's podcast, like they were getting, or at least Carr especially, and oh, I said the name again, sorry, was getting very, you know, tired of being there and just stopped being fun. So, you know, she will be back, and I'm sure, you know, for any other Kara fans out there, we'll enjoy her a lot better once she's gotten a break and time off and a little bit of a recharge. But who else am I missing? There's a couple people, I would say. I mean, I wish Natalie would get her way back on here somehow.
For a minute, I thought you meant Ninja, and I was like, what?
Not that. No.
I was so confused.
No. And I don't know. There's probably other names, but it's like I'm tired.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's definitely fair.
Can't think straight anymore. So Cam, we'll get Cam back in here eventually.
That's who I felt like I was missing the presence. Like I want you know, someone that they put in the head of the confessional, strategic woman. So I am excited to get Cam back whenever we do. Obviously I miss Turbo, but otherwise a pretty well-rounded cast.
I think Bailey is going to step up and be a big confessional giver if she can stick around.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about it, but it seems like everyone already is noticing Bailey. So I'm excited to see what Bailey. I'm not the biggest swaggy guy, but I am down to see what Bailey brings to the season.
Yeah, I don't think we even talked about the Bailey and Jay thing.
No, not at all. I mean, it was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, she was definitely taking her moment to stand up for her man, which is something that any Big Brother fan knows that that was a thing then, and it's going to be a thing, you know, for as long as these two are together. They are very in love and very protective of each other. So both of them, anytime that you see somebody come after one, the other one is going to go straight to that source and get to the bottom of things. So, you know, we saw that from right off the bat, jumping off here where Jay, you know, mentioned, well, why does it have to be me? Why can't it be Asaf? Why can't it be Swaggy? And Bailey is like, were you trying to get him thrown in? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, bad move by Jay. Like, it kind of was like, all right, your ship's already sunk, or like, you don't throw your out. Like, I don't know. It just was never shifting. Like, they have their minds made up on which rookie, or you had to do the work earlier. Like, you know, so kind of a weird move. But then for Bailey to confront it so openly was definitely an interesting call.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely am excited to see what the Big Brother people are going to end up doing here. I have high hopes for at least Fessy. I feel like Fessy, just looking at the field here, like he is pretty high up there in terms of like athletic ability. And you know, I have no faith in him in terms of social game, or not social game, a strategic game. But I think that this group already seems pretty intimidating, and I can see them doing some damage if they play their cards right. So we'll see about that. We'll see about all of this stuff. A lot to talk about here with this first episode, but we've got a lot coming up with a couple of, hopefully a long season ahead of us to keep us busy in these strange times. But anything else, anything going on outside of this that people should check out besides your Twitter at, as always?
No, that's about it. You know, everyone's stuck at home. I'm doing the same.
Yes. So that's what we've got for you this week. Check out, I guess, my Survivor blog. If you're not, everything's always on my Twitter. So follow me there at Matt Liguori. Follow Scally at Brian_Scally. And that's it for this week. And we will see you for episode 2.